Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning and happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. And I am your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports. A little bit of a late start today. We usually start about 5-6 minutes after 10. But a couple technical difficulties, but we're glad to bring you the show. You know, when you come in the morning and you hook up the Comrex, and that's the piece of equipment that connects everybody to the radio station, when one of the wires is spliced, you gotta just figure it out. You gotta MacGyver it a little bit, but we are here and ready to rock and roll. 2 hours. Well, I don't know, cut short by about 15 minutes or so, but all the way up until 12 o'clock, we're going to be bringing you all the great stuff that's happening up and down the central section regarding high school sports. And so last night, there were tons of games. There were a few games on Thursday as well, but hey guys, can you believe it? Only 2 more weeks until playoffs. We've been talking about playoffs since, I don't know, August, since when the season started, making predictions and trying to see who's going to be where in the different divisions. But only 2 more weeks after this week, and then playoff seedings will be announced. And then here we go. And the weather's turning, isn't it? I heard there's going to be eclipse tonight. Happened in Oregon already. So I know there's cloud coverings and a little bit cooler than the last couple of weeks. That's for darn sure. So right now, it's 61 degrees, and thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show. And this is the weather report. So 61 degrees right now, a high of 84 today. So finally feels like fall. However, looking at my app, next week, Thursday, 93 degrees. I thought we were very clear of the 90s, but apparently not. But thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring the show and 1430 in general. And how about those Fresno State Bulldogs last night? I'm sure a lot of you guys were watching the game on television. 5 o'clock start on Friday is always a little unusual. It's usually reserved for our high school sports, but those Bulldogs, man, they played a heck of a game, tied at halftime, came back and won 37-32. Logan Fife, his first start of the season, played very well, 291 yards passing, had that touchdown, no interception. So yeah, go dogs. We have a bye week next week, and then return home on the 28th and be honoring Pat Hill, joining the Ring of Honor. So really looking forward to the rest of the month in high school football. So, all right, well, this is what's going on the next, all up until 12 o'clock. No Gabe Camarillo today. So one of the downfalls of having to switch up some equipment around, I'll be chatting with Gabe. And Gabe and I were able to do the Sanger and Madera game last night at Memorial Stadium in Madera. That game was a lot of fun. We thought that Sanger was going to run away with it, to be honest. They were up 28-7, and Madera had this furious comeback where they recovered a couple of kickoff returns that were fumbled and muffed, and they made it a game. It was actually 28-21, and Madera scored on a long touchdown pass. And then you see that ugly little flag, yellow flag was thrown, and there was an illegal man downfield on the regular pass play. It wasn't a screen pass or play like that. So a little frustrating for Madera, but Sanger holds on to win 35-21. Isaiah Robles looked really strong, especially in that first quarter, a couple really long touchdown runs. But Sanger looking strong this season, in control of their own destiny in this season. So that was a game that Gabe and I were able to call last night. We have Daniel Gomez and Coach Cannon Sanchez of Hampers coming into the show live here at First String Sports. They defeated Tulare Western last night, 56-6. We know about their high octane offense. We talk about them a lot on the show. And Sanchez is a friend of the show. And Daniel Gomez, first time I'm going to meet him and talk with him. He is a strong arm quarterback. He's a junior. He's waited his turn to be the starter. And he is, as advertised, putting up some crazy stats. I know he hadn't thrown an interception this season coming to the game last night. So we'll see if he threw one. I kind of doubt it in that game. Last night when they beat Tulare Western. We're continuing our legend series with Sean Will. keeping a strong one, Hanford today. But Sean Wills is a former three sports star at Hanford High, graduated in 1988, went on and played at UCLA. Got a lot of carries as a freshman, man. He started off his career with an absolute bang and played with a guy by the name of Troy Aikman. Perhaps you've heard of him. So Sean is a friend. I got to know him a few years ago when his kids were playing at Clovis High. Great guy. He's already retired. He worked for the police department. And so, yeah, he's a great guy. I can't wait to talk with Sean and have him share stories of what it's like to play. And back in the day in Hanford in the late 80s and at UCLA. I'm sure he's got some tons of great stories. Oh, yeah, he played pro baseball as well after UCLA. And at the bottom of hour number two, Kermit coach Damon Jenkins. He's also a friend of the show. Great guy. Played at De La Salle during that incredible winning streak that they had. Played at Fresno State for Pat Hill. Led the team in interceptions 1 year. Doing a great job at Kerm. I always love to talk to Damon. And after I talk to him, I'm ready to run through a wall. He's a high energy guy. Doing a great job. And they beat Hanford West 41-6 last night. Okay, so I'm going to go over a few scores here for about the next 8 to 10 minutes. There were some games on Thursday. A lot of our Fresno and Clovis schools share stadium. Justin Garza, coming off that big win over Bullard the week before, defeated Edison 24-22. There was a last-second field goal that Edison wasn't able to convert. Gabe Cameron was actually there, has a great video of it on Twitter. Edison was lined up, kicked the game winner. Looked like a pretty short field goal, probably within 30 yards. High snap. A lot of people thought, well, was it a fake? Was it, what was going on? But it was a high snap. And so the holder stood up and yeah, he was dead to rights. So Garza holds on to beat Edison. Kennedy defeated McFarland 62-7. Tehachapi remains undefeated. Defeated north of Bakersfield 49-6. They got a really strong ball club there in Tehachapi. Probably will go undefeated this year and probably be in Division II. that's the topic of conversation that we've had throughout the season, what teams deserve to be in what division. But yeah, Tehachapi is going to be in Division II, maybe even an 8 or 9 season. So imagine this, Tehachapi could go undefeated this season and maybe not even get a home game. That's how kooky this playoff system is. And then Liberty of Bakersfield defeated Centennial again on Thursday, 30-7. What's interesting is that, as I heard, so I don't want to be the authority on this, but their quarterback went down. Cole O'Brien, the starting quarterback on the state championship team, last year's Central Section team. So keep an eye on that. That would be a huge, huge blow for Liberty if their quarterback misses any time. All right. In CMAC action last night, San Joaquin Memorial defeated Bullard 26-14 in the game that we covered on 1430. ESPN. Sanger defeated Madera 35-21. And East Sequoia League action, Orange Cove over Lindsay 27-24. Orosi remains undefeated. Came back on Corcoran to defeat them 22-20. Strathmore over Granite Hills shut them. They scored 6. Talking about Granite Hills, Strathmore scored 42. And Woodlake all over Farmersville 55-0. Let's move down to the North Yosemite League. And how about those McLean Highlanders shut out Madera South 49-0. Most wins that they've had in 10 years. And if they win next week, it's the most wins that they've had since 1995. Look at Andrew Pancotti. He's done a great job with the program. There's no doubts there. He's been on the show. I've watched his team play and they get after it. Talk about running through a wall for a guy and they do for their coach. So congrats to the Highlanders for shutting out Madera South. Roosevelt, defeated Hoover, Sanger, West and Fresno. I think Fresno won that one. Let me go to Max Preps. I'll catch up on that one. And then Sunnyside defeated Torres 54-21. Actually, let me switch to Max Preps. They got most of the scores there. All right. Let's go to track. We had some wild and wacky games in the track. How about this, guys? Well, let me start with it. Let me start with Clovis over Buchanan 21-13. Why is that interesting? Well, Clovis moves to 2-1. Buchanan is now 0-3 on the season. What that means for the Bears is they're going to have to win one of their last two games to even qualify for the playoffs. You got to win 3 games to qualify for the playoffs. Buchanan now, is still stuck at 2 wins. and they finish off the season with Clovis North and Clovis East. So two of the top teams in the central section. How about this game? Is it an upset? Is it not? Well, Central defeated Clovis East. Clovis East was the number two team, according to Cal Preps. Central defeated them 58-55. 113 total points. Points of plenty in that one. Marquez, their quarterback, is on fire. But Kyle Biggs is, he's finding the right recipe with that Central offense. Marquez had three touchdown passes, two rushing touchdowns, 617 yards of offense for Central. And Clovis East had about the same amount. We're talking about 1,200 yards of total offense. Oh my gosh. I bet that was a very, very entertaining game to watch. So congratulations, Central, defeating Clovis East. What's that going to do for the rankings? Well, I kept hitting refresh with Cal Prep, and there's some scores that haven't been updated yet. So a little frustrated by that. I was hoping to talk about it a bit, but yeah, I mean, you got Clovis beating Central and then Central beating Clovis East and Clovis East beating Clovis West and all this crazy stuff. So it'll be sorted out soon enough. Mentioned the Bullard beating San Joaquin Memorial, and then Clovis North and Clovis West. That game was tied at halftime. Clovis North comes back to defeat them 34-27. And, Clovis West actually had a 21-14 lead in that ball game. Clovis North's rushing offense, again, they scored five touchdowns on the ground. McKay Madsen had two. Simfell, Cosma, and, Chavez each scored one touchdown on the ground. But yeah, Clovis West, and we figured they might give North a little bit of trouble. Clovis West has a great offense, passing wise. Can't run the ball very well, but you know, Clovis North a little susceptible to the passing game, and it showed. But yeah, hats off to Clovis West for putting up a really good fight against the number one ranked team in the central section, and they will stay number one. Who's going to be number two? I don't know. Clovis East was. Liberty move up with that win. They most likely do. So lots of crazy scenarios, and we'll definitely hash that out in the weeks to come. Tulare Union defeated Mission Oak 32-25. Central Valley Christian 32, Kingsburg 22. Kingsburg had a lot of guys get healthy for that one. Actually, they out-totaled them as far as yards, 380-310. So they bottled up Bryson Donaldson the best they could, but Central Valley a little bit too much in Visalia in that one. Sunnyside defeated Torres. I might have mentioned that already, 54-41. And then how about this? Hanford over Tulare Western, 50-6. We were talking with Ken Sanchez and Daniel Gomez right after the break more about that one, but the Bullpups keep winning football games. So excited to talk to the guys about how that one went down and how their season's going so far. Frontier defeated Stockdale 39-14. Be careful. Bakersfield, they're getting hot at the right time. Score 54. Over Highland, beat them 54-7. Roosevelt defeated Hoover. There's that Roosevelt with the score, 47-22. And, Exeter defeated Emmanuel to remain undefeated, 54-32. Washington Union defeated Selma, 15-7. Dos Palos over Tranquility. And Lemoore defeated Dinuba, 49-12. Lemoore is really playing some really good football. Yeah. So got that Lemoore and Hanford game. We'll talk with Coach Cannon Sanchez and Daniel Gomez. All right. That's a little wrap up of the games. We're going to be talking with those two guys after the break on 1430 ESPN.
March Madness on locally owned 1430 ESPN.
Let's talk about last night's game. So 14-0 at half. Said you only got a couple possessions, and teams that are trying to beat that high octane offense and slow you guys down. They're doing that, trying to do a ball controlled offense and keep your offense off the field. So just talk about overall how that game flowed and how you guys were come away with the win.
Yeah, I mean, it's hats off to Western as far as, you know, their game plan going to the game. I think they did a really good job of trying to keep the offense off the field. We could have done a better job to start the game, getting them off the field defensively, you know. But, yeah, we had two offensive possessions in the first half, and, we got to, make sure we're doing a better job starting fast, you know, and I think we went into the game a little flat. So, that happens. It's happened to us a couple weeks ago. It's happened to us a lot last year as well. So, but if we start fast, we can dictate the tempo of the offense, and we got to do a better job of that.
You got a pretty good quarterback to your left right here. Daniel, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Good to be here. Thank you.
You guys drove together?
Yeah.
Did Coach you know, buy you breakfast or anything, or is it just a straight shot here?
No, not yet, but I ate breakfast before I came.
All right, there you go. Good call, good call. So how did this guy perform, Coach Sanchez, last night? And then I'll ask him, you know, from his perspective, but how did Daniel perform?
Yeah, I mean, obviously from my perspective, he always puts us in a great position on the field. I mean, he's truly a, you know, extension of the coaching staff and, you know, puts us in a good position with our tempo part of it and just putting the ball where it needs to go. He got a very limited amount of plays. We actually only ran 23 offensive plays last night, and I think we pulled him out. So he probably only was on the field for about 18 of those plays.
So, Daniel, you know, Coach talks about the flow of the game a lot. And, yeah. You know, you guys have a specific game plan. Each play has a specific purpose. How did the game go last night? You know, Coach mentioned also that you only threw the ball maybe six or seven times. But everything just kind of in place for you?
As for me, you know, I wish I could have had more opportunities to throw the ball. I think that's every quarterback. but, no, the team flew. They were going really fast. They pushed the tempo. The running game was there, especially against the Tulare Western team. It was a really big night for our guy Corday. It was pretty special for him to get those five touchdowns. So I was happy with it. My performance really just goes with the team and how we do together. So I was happy with the win.
Did you got a little screen pass to Corday? Is that how you got one of your touchdowns?
Yeah.
Is it just like, man, you just take a couple steps to the right and throw across your body? What kind of screen pass was it, Dan?
So we were in 2x2, got an orbit motion from our number two slot to the left, give him a pump, and then redirect back to Corday going left, little screen, just dump it off there and let him do his thing.
All right, so what does that play call look like? Coach Sanchez is signaling that play.
Yeah.
You guys aren't huddling up though, right?
No.
No huddle.
No huddle.
So how are you signaling then to your receivers and running back where to go, or is Coach doing that?
No, that's our Coach Vasquez,
okay.
Our receiver coach. He does that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you get a play dialed up like that, you're like, man, I know my guy can take it to the house.
Absolutely,
like what's that
yeah.
what's that feeling like?
Well, just obviously knowing what the defense is doing, what they're showing, what we're drawing up on the board every Monday, and just really, you know, seeing what they're doing, and knowing that if we get this look, this is going to be a home run play. So right off the jump, I already knew he was going to score. So just give him a little dump off pass, give it, you know, kind of let it be perfect. So let him do his thing.
Let him do his thing is right, and it makes you look good by getting those yards after catch, right? Those yaks, you get those counts. So, Coach. You know, at this point in the season, you have that hiccup against Frontier, you know, the one loss so far. But you know, sometimes kids could get a little complacent, you know, or actually all the way through eight games this season. But how would you assess the team this year so far?
Good. I mean, we're still a pretty young team. You know, I think it definitely gives you some excitement that, you know, this is a team that we're going to probably have for 2 years, you know. But at the same time, there's, you know, maturity level that we've got to get better at and just, you know, being dialed in. Football is a tough sport. There's a lot of preparation in football, and that's pretty much 90% of it. So, you know, I think sometimes you go into games feeling a little too confident or not dialed in from the start. And, you know, those are the things that will prevent you from, you know, actually – getting to your goals, you know. And so we had a big talk about that last night, but you know, I think we're getting better each week as far as understanding what the preparation and what it takes to be successful.
You got Mission Oak and Lemoore, final two games. Mission Oak, they each of those teams present different problems. Mission Oak, their offense is much improved. They could put up a lot of points. And Lemoore, we know what they did last year. They had a prolific offense. Now it seems like their defense has kind of switched a little bit, from my opinion. But when those, you know, we got two tough games, especially that Lemoore game is going to be really, really tough. So how are you able to, you know, throughout the season, just kind of pace the team to where you guys are playing your best football of the season at this point? How good is your team going to have to play to beat those two teams?
I think the big thing, you know, staying healthy is one of the hardest things in football too, is right, is making sure that, you know, your guys are staying healthy. We're, you know, we're a very small team. People forget that, you know, we've only got 1,400 kids at our school, and we got a, you know, roster. We only dressed out 32 guys last night, and keeping guys healthy to where you can kind of stay on pace as far as, you know, just being in sync with everybody is tough, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, when you're playing good teams like a Lemoore, we've had a pretty tough preseason schedule. But doing that day in, day out, it's tough.
I want to talk more about Daniel. The Duke can rip it. Kenny, and you've known that for a while, and this is junior year, and Cajun Muir is a really good quarterback that you had. He's kind of waiting his turn, but when you got a quarterback that you trust that can make a lot of different throws in a lot of different situations, I mean, how much confidence does it give you as a coaching staff and the players that you got a guy that you really, really trust?
Well, I think, you know, with Daniel, we're always in it. You know what I mean? Even when, if we're, you know, in a little bit of a hole, when you got a guy that's got an arm talent that he's got, you know, it puts us in a great position. But it's more than that. I think, you know, Daniel does a really good job of really down into, you know, watching film, making sure he's dialed into what the play calls are going to be, to where when we do get in a situation, he's not, you know, questioning why are we doing this. We're both on the same page. And I think having a good relationship with him puts us in a good position.
And Daniel, before the season started, I could even say, you know, after last year ended, did you really try to take more of a leadership role? Do you think, man, this is my team for this year and for next mm-hmm. year? Like, what type of a leadership role did you take it upon yourself?
No, absolutely, I did. I actually had broken my collarbone week five when I had the chance to start. Kind of set me back, but, you know, I just kind of looked at it day by day as a bit of a learning process. You know, took that few months off to rehab. Then going into December to January, just watched a lot of film, just kind of checked the boxes of what I could have done better, and, you know, looking at how the season went, really getting more into the playbook, and just really picking it up mentally, you know, really picking up my game mentally and physically, put on, you know, I think it was 10 to 12 pounds of muscle mass, so really getting my physical part of the game up, and then obviously the mental IQ. So I think I'm a little bit more prepared as a leader, and I've been trying to week by week really lead the team as much as I can.
Are you at the point, Daniel, where you feel confident in your physical ability, where you don't have to think that too much about, man, I got to get my shoulder square here, or I got to do five steps here? Like, everything's becoming more natural, or is that still something that you're working on, you have to think about?
No, this offense, I'm very comfortable in this offense. I believe every call, every play call that Coach Cannon's, you know, dials up, I know where the ball has to be. I know, you know, the footwork that I have to, you know, kind of get into, that's going to be there, and I'm very comfortable with every play that we run.
What's your favorite play to run? What's your favorite throw?
Empty backfield, empty left with Corday. Got a seam. Gives them. If we have two high safeties, he gives a little double move. Gets him inside, then breaks outside. Just got
to. He likes to show off his arm.
That's where I thought he was headed. So you like to throw on that? You like to throw the sidelines on out, show the gun, or you like a deep slant?
Where
you can air it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I basically just like to air it out. Yeah.
Has there been a throw, Coach, this year, talking with Candace Sanchez, Daniel Gomez at Hanford, where like you've kind of like look back and said, man, that was a heck of a throw? Or maybe you become more of a fan than a coach, or are you just more all coach mode? Or has there been a player like, oh, wow, that was pretty darn good?
You know, he's definitely made a couple. And it was actually early on the season, our Redwood game, we're put in a really, whatever, tough position. It was a third and 18. And it was actually that play you just said right now is, you know, we're in an empty set, and, you know, they brought the funk up front, you know, and so he had to kind of stick in the pocket, and he made a, you know, great throw, and Corday made a one-handed catch, you know, but it was a ball placed perfectly while getting, you know, whatever, hit in the chin, and those are the type of throws that can kind of prove that he can play at the next level.
Well, let's talk about that next level. You have how many Division I offers, Daniel?
As of right now, one.
You have the one.
Toledo.
Okay, yeah. And I know you've visited Fresno State.
Yeah.
I've seen those pics online and stuff and all that great stuff. Kenny, I'll ask you, like, when you're talking to some college coaches about him, like, what are the attributes that you are excited to tell them about Daniel?
You know, I think when they are able to see him in person, they kind of, oh, you know, he's a great looking kid,
yeah.
And you know, and he's got so much more to go. But I think his arm talent is really off the charts. We were able to compete in a 7-on-7 at Fresno State this year, and you know, I think he just really is in a different category than the other guys in the Central Section. And that's no, and we've got some really good quarterbacks in Central Section, some really good passers. I think his physicality is huge, and then his just IQ of the game. Like, you know, he sometimes I got to tell him to stop texting me because how much he wants to talk football, but he loves football truly.
So, Daniel, when did you – let's go back a little bit to when you growing up. Did you do the whole, like, soccer thing and then maybe play Little League T-ball, then some basketball, and then finally get into football? What did that look like for you?
So I started playing football at 4 years old, strictly just football until I got to elementary school, third grade, where I started to play basketball. I kind of had a love for basketball a little bit, but once I knew football was for me, I stick with football and I just got rid of basketball. But this year, definitely going to try out for basketball, try to, you know, help out the team as much as I can. But, you know, football is really my true love.
How do you play football at 4 years old? What are you doing to little toddlers? I mean, what the heck's going on? 4 years old?
Yeah.
These helmets barely fit on these kids. It's hard to watch.
That's awesome. Did you always start off as a quarterback, or did you play some other positions and then transition into quarterback?
I actually didn't start as a quarterback. I started as a DN, played defense, linebacker. Then once I got older, kind of going into like junior, Pop Warner, I played running back, loved that. But then one day, one of my coaches, Coach Fish, love him. He really saw my arm talent. And he just said, "You're going at quarterback no matter what. You just forget about the whole defensive thing. You're a quarterback." So as of that day, started as quarterback and fell in love with it ever since.
And did you have a JV team? Do you have freshmen? You don't have freshmen.
We have freshmen.
You have freshman ball. So did your freshman years, you play freshman ball?
I played freshman ball, yeah.
And then you moved up with some of your teammates. But I want you, Daniel, talk about the class. So you got Corday, mm-hmm. Albert Richardson,
yep.
Right? Who else is in your class?
JC Turner.
So you guys are definitely loaded for the rest of the year and this year. What's it like playing with those guys? You started playing with them when they were young, and you guys had just grown up playing ball together?
No, yeah, we grew up playing ball together. Sometimes we'd be on the other side playing against each other, but, you know, we're just a whole unit. We're a family. Grew up together, and I think that's brought us closer, just playing together as, you know, little kids and coming up to high school, playing ball and maturing together. It's something special, for sure.
And you can scoot, too. You can run. So who's faster? I don't know, let's say those four guys, JC and Corday and Albert and you. Come on, you guys line up at the 40.
I'm the last one.
All right.
I'm the last one.
All right.
I'll put it like that, yeah.
You're honest. Okay. But
I'm the strong one, though. I will say that.
You're staying out of this one, Coach?
I don't know. I think he doesn't get a lot of love, but I think JC's probably the fastest. If he's got those long strides. He's 6'4", and when he gets into that, maybe 10 yards, he gets pretty fast.
All right, we've only got a couple minutes here, guys. Daniel, I want to ask you, like, what are some other things that you're into? Obviously, you're a football guy through and through, and Coach nailed it. You got the look, you got the physique, you got the arm talent. But what are some other things that you're interested in? You know, church or video games or movies or artistry or anything like that?
I'm definitely into church. I think my faith has grown. Trying to grow my faith even more. Because I do believe that God has given me this purpose, this platform, this ability to play football, to kind of spread His word and, you know, really show that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He's blessed me with so many opportunities, especially the offer and, you know, all this hype. It's really just come from Him. It's nothing that I've done. He's blessed me with so many people that have shown me love and support, my family, my friends. Especially that whole family of the church, my girlfriend.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great. And this is, you know, Hanford is a special place. We got Sean Wills here. Can't wait to talk to him after the break. And you've seen some clips, Daniel, of this guy slinging the rock around. You know, when I did my research for the Hanford guys, saw the leaderboard. There was a HanfordBullpups.com with all the records and coaches on there, and you'll probably be creeping up there on a couple of them as well. But what do you know about Coach's old days of him slinging the football around?
No, actually, last off season, Sirsip Cannon Sanchez playoff game. I don't know who he was playing against, but him and Braden were really connecting. It was really fun to watch. But then literally during the ride over here, I asked him, like, we got to watch some highlights on you, try to get a few pointers from you. But yeah, it would be fun to really see how he played the game.
And so who had a quicker release? You know what I mean? What
oh, think, Coach? Definitely Daniel. It's hard to watch my film. I can't even turn it on. Just, yeah, it's tough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would start for me if I was 2023.
Well, I'm sure you would have been really hard on yourself. Yeah. If you coached yourself, you'd be really hard on yourself. We got one more question here, Coach Sanchez. Again, thank you guys for coming. I really, really appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun. But, you know, playoffs and all that stuff, you know, we've talked ad nauseum at times about that, what's fair, what's not fair. But what comes down to it, you're coaching high school kids, trying to win football games, you're trying to, you know, help them be better people, and you got a great one to your left as well. So, you know, how blessed are you to be the head coach at Hanford High and to have the responsibility to not only teach them football, but about life as well?
No, I mean, this is true. I mean, I love football. I love coaching football, and this is the only place I'd want to do it, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, what makes it fun and enjoyable is having players like Daniel and these guys that we have now that, you know, truly give it their all, you know. But we said it on the way here, but, you know, Hanford High football is bigger than myself. It's bigger than Daniel. It's bigger than the individual players that are doing it, you know. And so, you know, I enjoy it a lot.
You do a great job, and we're going to be continuing with the Hanford theme here. You brought me some swag, like I said. You got a UCLA jersey right there.
I do.
Check that out. We got to get the Sharpie out for Sean to sign that. But thank you guys for coming. Always appreciate talking to you, Cannon, and texting you throughout the week. You've always quick to respond, so I really appreciate that. And Daniel, your highlight film was awesome. One of these days, I'm going to get to see you in person and sling it around. So thanks for
coming. Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right, we're going to take a small break here. Bring back Sean Wills, one of our Central Section legends on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. Your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Thank you to them for sponsoring the show and student-athletes all up and down the Central Section. Just had a really good conversation with Kenan Sanchez, head coach at Hanford High, Daniel Gomez. And, I really didn't plan it this way, but it just happened. I've been talking with Sean Wills over the last couple weeks about, man, we got to get you on the show. What day is going to work? He keeps going to UCLA games, checking him out. He's got season tickets, right? So this day worked out perfectly because they're at Oregon State, right, tonight. Yeah. And, it just happened to work out. Cannon and Daniel on the show, and then we're rolling right into to Sean. So I got to give you a proper introduction before we get going here.
There you go.
I know. I got to get you proper. All right, Hanford class of 1988, so you're younger than me, and I remember hearing about Sean Wills this, Sean Wills that, or Fresno B all the time, and so this is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people. Started baseball, running back at Hanford, went to UCLA, played a little basketball too, man.
Yep.
Played a little basketball as well, and, you know, played 3 years of pro baseball, drafted by the Phillies, right?
Yes.
Philadelphia Phillies, and just one of the legends. I texted a few people, you know, just about what do you remember about Sean. And he just had glowing reviews. Andy Bogart, who covered you, is a Hanford native as well. He said top five running backs he's ever seen at the prep level. So just accolades aplenty. But, I mean, more important than that, you and I have gotten to know each other for, I don't know, when was the first time we met? Like 15, 16, when JJ was playing at Clovis?
Yes, got to be 2016, yeah. 2015, 2014.
Yeah, around that time. I think I approached you at a football game, and you could have been nicer, so we kept in contact since then. And you retired, right? You retired recently?
Yes, I just retired after a 25-year career with the California Highway Patrol. Retired November of 2022.
Okay.
And had a great career, man. Enjoyed it, you know. the CHP has this has a commercial that say, you know, you could drive a car, ride a bike, fly a plane. Well, I drove a car. I was a motorcycle sergeant, so I rode a bike, and then I ended my career with the air ops unit, so I was inside of a plane. So I literally got to do everything that I wanted to do there. And the CHP also afforded me the opportunity to volunteer. I volunteered at a lot of different entities and stuff. So great career. And now I get to just do what I want to do in my retirement, which is watch football 24/7. As my wife says, you watch too much football. One of my greatest days last year was UCLA had a morning game. So I drove down to the morning game, drove back to Fresno, was able to get to the Fresno State game. Those are great days.
Little slice of heaven, right? Just there. A little football slice. In the morning, football at night. And you know what I really love about what just happened in the last 10 minutes is you and Daniel and Coach Sanchez were getting together and talking. And I told Cannon that you were going to be here, but I didn't tell you that they were going to be here.
Right.
And
right.
Just that moment right there, that just means a lot to people, you know, that you're just speaking some life into Daniel and, you know, and just encouraging him and all those great things. And so, I mean, that's part of who you are. You just love to give back, don't you?
Well, and I don't think people realize, man, that Hanford is special, man. I am so blessed and, you know, glad that I grew up in Hanford because, you know, it takes a village. And so, you know, when you talk about football and you know, me growing up and the Champlins and the Dutras and all those people that just poured into us, you know, it is a special place. Like, we all drink the water. We all drink the water, right? You know, I remember playing and they would say, you know, he's from the Central Valley, and they would talk to me about being, no, I'm from Hanford. I'm from the Central Valley, but I'm from Hanford. Give my bull pups some respect. Put some respect on their name. Daniel's a little bigger than what I thought.
Me too. He walked in. I'm like, he's a specimen. He's a specimen.
He looks good, man. Definitely looks the QB part, you know. You know, all GQ looking up and stuff like that, you know.
And he's got the arm, too. He's got
yes.
The arm.
He can definitely play. I got a chance to watch him on the Friday Night Rivals. And, man, they have some kids. They have some kids that can really do it. So, you know. Just like a coach was saying that they only suited up 32 players or something like that, and it's a small club, you know. But they definitely have some guys that can play D1 football.
Talking with Sean Wills, Sean, I want to ask you about growing up Hanford. You know, growing up in the late 70s and in the 80s, what was life like in Hanford? You know, running around in the streets until it's time to come home from dinner kind of thing, getting your knees all scraped up in the streets. I mean, what was life like in Hanford?
Absolutely was. I mean, you know, we didn't have all those video games and stuff. So as long as you were home before the streetlights came on, you were actually good to go. Parents, you know, my mom and dad didn't keep track of, you know, now I have life 360 so I can always see where my kids are. But back then, listen, as long as you were home at that certain time, you were actually good to go. You know, all of us live close to each other because, you know, all of us grew up on the south side of town. So my cousins, aunts, uncles, we were all on the south side. We all live close. So we spent a lot of time with each other. So that's what it was. I mean, it's just Hanford is just a special place to grow up. You know, one of the reasons why we moved back here is because I wanted to have my kids grow up in a smaller town. We lived in Los Angeles when JJ was born, and I just wanted to move back to a smaller town. And so talked to my wife, who's from L.A., and she's, you know, she started going through stuff, and she's like, well, Hanford's just a little too small for me. Going from L.A. to Hanford, just a little too small. So we agreed on Fresno, you know, Fresno, Clovis area. And but growing up in Hanford, man, I was absolutely blessed with the people that God had surrounded me by, with the mentors, with the coaches. I remember my first coach, I played for the Trojans. There was the Pee-wees, and it was Coach Costa. And Coach Costa, if you know him back then, he yelled everything. It could be Hi Sean, and he was yelling Hi Sean, you know. And but one thing that he taught me was don't listen to what I say. I mean, don't listen to how I say it. Listen to what I say. And that actually stuck with us. So, you know, all throughout when I played for the Rams, my uncle was the coach. And so I have fond memories of driving to practice because we all lived in home gardens. So he had this white Datsun. And just imagine like five kids being in that small Datsun, right? So two of us sitting in the front, I'm sitting in the actual middle. And he taught me how to drive a stick shift because we were so crunched in there, he would have me shift while he did the gears, you know. So I would be shifting and we'd be driving to practice over to the complex. You know, kids in the back, me and him in the front.
So you're like 8 years old, 10 years old. What were you?
Yeah, about 10. About I think 10. The Rams was like 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. But just all those fond memories, man. And he put these two. He had this old, this old Datsun, this old white one, and he put the two Ram decals on each side of it. So we were just driving down the car, and he would push in the clutch and tell me to shift, and I shift, and we just kept going. You know,
four gears. You probably didn't even put seatbelts on, right? You
guys
no.
Were
just, yeah, no need
but,
for
you know, but the thing is, that was Hanford, man. That's why I keep telling people Hanford is a special place. It truly is, man. It the diversity, the people that you come in contact with, man. It was a great place for us. Me, Albert, you know, Mike Johnson, James Proctor, Darrell Dawson, Keith Johnson. I mean, when you look at the people that have come out of Hanford, and even before us, you know. The Fred Leathers, the Joel Thomases, the Ken Tommy, the whole Thomas family. When you look at all those people that have come before us, and then, you know, Ryan Bowen, who mm-hmm. was the first round draft pick, you know, Keith Johnson, who played in the majors and also have been coaching in the actual majors. And then you look at, like, the Michael Johnsons, who is a prominent lawyer. You know, you look at Darrell Dawson, who is in Arizona. I mean, not just sports, but just
good people
yeah. that are taking care of their families and taking care of business. And that is because we had people around us growing up, you know, that actually showed us that, you know.
When you get to Hanford, you know, you're a three sport guy, you know, you're stand out in football as well. Like,
hold on, I don't mean to cut you off, but my claim to fame is cheerleading.
Come on.
Let me get that
Come
out
on.
There right
now. All
right,
now. Let's go. Well, go. Go with it. You brought
right
it
now.
Up. Let's go.
Mr. and Mrs. Vincent. I don't know if y'all listening to this, but Mr. and Mrs. Vincent, I was on the competition cheerleading squad. I think it was my junior year because I didn't play basketball. So my junior year, one of the guys got hurt or something and couldn't perform, so they asked me to come in. And if you look on my Facebook page, I posted because I talked to Mrs. Benson and I got a video of it. So that's because people were like, no, you didn't cheerleading. Look, I did everything when I was in high school, man. You better stop. So I got a video of it. I posted it onto Facebook. I'm like, this is the proof right here. And so that is my claim to fame.
So the ESPN 1430 listening audience knows they're going right to Facebook.
Yep.
As we're talking, and I'm going to be checking that out for sure. So cheerleading, we've got to add that to the resume. But football, like, it was different back then too. You know, again, we're 1 year apart. We didn't have a lot of that weight training and different summer league and 7-on-7. It was like, you literally go from one sport to the next. One day your season ends, the next day you're at the next sport, right? So Hanford, you know, sports is, you know, was pretty big time back in the day.
Right.
Describe, just go for like Friday Night Lights. What was Friday Night Lights like in Hanford?
Man, it, you know, there was times where I know that during the playoff game, when we played Clovis High. So we grew up hating Clovis High School. We just did. We didn't like Clovis High School. And it's funny now because my kids went to Clovis High School. But I remember during that playoff run we had, you know, we'd go to school and then we'd have our team meal. And then most of the time we'd go somewhere and just hang out. You know, I'd go out to Eddie Dutcher's house and just hang out there. And then, you know, coming to the actual stadium, man, I mean, it was just a buzz. It was a buzz because the stadium was packed. They brought in extra stands for the end zone. There was just a great buzz about Hanford High football, man, and the entire community supported it. South side, north side, everybody supported Hanford High football. And we ended up beating Clovis High that night. Matter of fact, Pat Ruth, him and I meet with a group of brothers on Fridays so that we can, you know, bond. We pray with each other, pray for each other, and we hook up and we just hold each other accountable spiritually. So I always joke with him because he's the one that started the fight during the Clovis High game. So I ended up getting tackled on my sideline, and then Pat came a little late, jumped over and tried to hit me afterwards. Well, you and I both know, in Hanford, you don't do that on our sideline, man. You just can't get away with that, you know. And so turned into a big leg scuffle, and I still joke with Pat now because him and I ended up playing with the Phillies also. But I still joke with him about starting that actual fight.
And now you guys hold each other accountable spiritually,
right,
after that
right.
moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. So, is there a specific, you mentioned that, you know, that little scuffle on the sidelines. I know he had a 99-yard touchdown run, you know, the all-time leading rusher in school history as far as yards. And I think touchdowns too, right? You got 56 touchdowns in your career.
Somewhere there.
Yeah. Is there a specific moment that stands out to you, you know, good or bad? Maybe, you know, football made you cry after a game. Like, is there, what is your biggest takeaway from your football time at Hanford?
Well, the, you know, I was telling Daniel when we were talking that football is the greatest sport ever, but it'll have you so happy that it'll have you crying and so upset that it'll have you crying too. And that's why it's such a great sport. The 99-yard run, that was probably one of the most memorable ones because my cousin, Will Worry, he held the record before I did, and he was there. So when I actually broke, you know, so back then, like, they all sat on the, I don't know, on one side, you know, and so I knew where he was actually sitting at too. So after I actually broke that one, I actually turned around, looked up at him, and he just, you know, raised his hands up. So that one was really cool just because my cousin held that record. And as we know, records are meant to be broken. So
but yours have held on for a long time. We're talking with Sean Wills. I'm very curious how recruiting went back then. So UCLA obviously went there. We're going to get into those stories in just a second. But what was recruiting like? Did coaches just show up at practice and check you out? Are you sending in VHS tapes? What did that look like back then?
Recruiting back then was totally different, you know. I remember Mrs. Avila, she sent in one of my tapes to ESPN. And then I didn't tell her to do it. She just did it, you know. And so then they came in and did this feature story on me. Doing playing football and also baseball. And so they would come to practice, but Coach Clark handled all that. I mean, you know, I talked to several coaches. I mean, I talked to several coaches, and then when they came and did the home visits, but I wasn't involved a lot when they came to practice or stuff like that, because, you know, Clark handled all that stuff. But it was just different, because now you can post your videos on Twitter, on Facebook. You can send it to them. I mean, it's easy to send it to them now, but back then we had tapes, man. We had the old school tapes. So and so that's what the recruiting process was like, you know, way back when. It was just totally different.
Do you remember the first time UCLA contacted you? Was that like, oh man, this might be for real? Was it Coach Donahue? What did that? Who was it?
So funny story is Mr. Mendoza. This is why I say Hanford is a village. So Mr. Mendoza is close friends with Coach Kazarian, Coach K. Coach K is from the Valley. Him and Mr. Mendoza went to the same schools. They knew each other. So he came to Coach K came to Woodrow Wilson Junior High School when I was a seventh grader, and gave us talk to our student body, and then gave us these Rose Bowl posters. And so afterwards, Mr. Mendoza called me into his office and called Coach K in the office, and he's like, "Hey, this is a good kid. He's a great athlete. You know, he just needs to get on track with making sure he does what he's supposed to do, because." I mean, people see the end product, but they don't see the people that were behind dealing with the stuff that I was dishing out. You know what I mean? So when I was when Mr. Mendoza called us in the office and Coach K talked to me, and ever since then, man, I'm like, I want to go to UCLA. And I remember the first time I got a call from him, I was at my dad's house. And my dad and I were sitting there talking. We were talking about different schools and stuff. And Coach K called and offered me. And, you know, it was a great feeling, man. You know, I mean, Daniel could tell you that, like, first offer is special. You know, it truly is.
So UCLA was your first offer?
Yeah. There were several people that were there's several coaches that were actually talking to and then I got several other offers and talked to several different coaches and stuff like that, and then I narrowed it down to four, and it was UCLA, USC, Stanford, and Washington.
And they were a kid from Hanford.
Kid from Hanford, man. Little snotty-nosed kid from Hanford, man. Southside Hanford, yes indeed.
Fresno State, not even on the radar. You get asked that every so often.
Fresno State did actually call, but it was like, hey, we know you're not going to come here, but you know, we want to put it out there, and I wanted to move away and grow up a little bit too. So not a knock on Fresno State, because I'm a big Fresno State fan now. Now, I did criticize them back in the past for not recruiting locally like they actually should have, but I think they've actually changed that now.
Absolutely. And when you did get to UCLA, were you overwhelmed? Did you feel like you were prepared physically and mentally? You know, you walked on the football field and you were probably looking around like, these are some dudes here. Like, what were those feelings like when you first arrived?
Yeah, no, it is an eye opener, man, because everybody's big. Everybody was, you know, five star. Everybody was all everything, you know. And then you have your younger guys like me coming in. And so I remember funny story is we had freshman entertainment night.
So, cheerleading. Man, right? There it was. Man. It's set up for you.
So Big Bob, he was one of our offensive linemen. Big dude, awesome dude, man. On the field, would open up holes. So we did the 12 days of practice. And, you know, it was on the first day of practice. My true coach said to us, you better get your readers in gear. And so we did, you know, there was 12 days. And on the fifth day, it was always wear your jock. So Bob had been messing with me from day one, man. You know, I'm this true freshman coming in, and I wasn't supposed to play, but you know, I worked my tail off and had some good preseason. Scrimmages, and they put me on the actual roster, and I played my freshman year when the number one running back in the nation, they had him redshirt. So that was just and a testament to just hard work, man. And so back to the story, Bob was just messing with me. Every day, man. But on the field, we were actually cool. But off the field, I was just a stupid little freshman, right? So this is it was me and Sean LaChapelle. We were up there singing it, and everybody's laughing. The coaches are in there laughing. And so when it comes to always wear your jock, I was looking at him. So
Big Bob.
So about the third time, because Big Bob kept messing with me, and I kept telling him, man, leave me alone. So about the third time, I was like, always wear your jock. That dude jumped up and chased me in the film room. Now, our film room wasn't like the film rooms that they have over there now. You know, it was little and we had chairs. And I'm literally running through so that this dude, he was going to kill me.
Yeah.
And I think I can handle myself, but no way. And so I'm running around and he's chasing me. Luckily, there were chairs everywhere. And I'm looking at the coaches, and Coach Donahue was sitting there laughing. I'm like, he's not laughing. This is not funny. You know, he's going to kill me for real. And luckily, a senior running back, Eric Ball, stepped in and was like, come on, Bob, man, you can't do that, man. So after that, Eric's like, hey, man, just stay away from Bob.
Well, the moral of the story, all you got to do is be faster than Big Bob.
That's right.
And you were. You were at least for 5 minutes.
And at least there were some obstacles in there that I had to maneuver through that he couldn't maneuver through, you know. But the whole funniest part was everybody was in there laughing, man. And I'm like, he's not laughing. I'm not laughing. I'm really scared right now.
Big Bob's foaming at the mouth. Right. Chasing Chubb. That's awesome. And you ran all over the field that first couple of games. You talked about your freshman year, how you impressed in those scrimmages. You had that 50-yard touchdown run against Nebraska.
Yeah.
Game number two on national TV.
Yeah.
Was that at the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
Or was that – oh, man. That would have been exhilarating to hear the roar of the crowd.
You know, it actually was. And that day was September 11th, 1988. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. Now, I had always grown up in the church. You know, my dad is a pastor, grandmother, mom, and I've always been in the church. But that morning during Fellowship of Christian Athletes is when I accepted Jesus Christ. And I just happened to actually break that one. But it really showed you about tunnel vision, too, because It is crazy during that 50-yard run. So what happened was Eric Ball broke a 70-yard touchdown, and it was called back because of a hold. And he comes out, and I was talking to Daniel. This is an example of reps. So he comes out because he is tired. I actually get in there, get a little 15-yard jot. The fullback ends up taking it for a first down, and then they give me a sweep, take the sweep for a 50-yard touchdown. I didn't see the field not one time after that. Eric's like, I am not coming out of the game.
But how about this? Did Big Bob block for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
no, I'm telling you,
on the field.
On the field, everything was great. I just stayed away from him off the field because I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if he was going to have a flashback of me messing with him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it is awesome. Back to the story of tunnel vision. During that run, the only thing I heard was Broderick Thomas that was chasing. It's crazy. You got 90,000 people in there, and that's all I'm hearing. I could literally hear him breathing. You know, and then once you score, then you hear everybody else, you know, and I'm sure quarterbacks, just like, you know, Danny can tell you that, you know, quarterbacks, they have to block out all that other stuff. You know, people don't realize that quarterbacks, you know, and also linemen. They make several calls up there that nobody else really truly actually sees. That tunnel vision set in, and I didn't hear anything until I scored. Then you hear everybody yelling, man. And when you walk out of the Rose Bowl, you truly feel like you're about 12 feet tall, man. Think about it. It's the Rose Bowl. And I'm a kid from Hanford, you know, that gets to walk out of there. And I truly felt like I was 12 feet tall walking out of there, man. And it was the greatest feeling ever. You know, one of the other good, awesome feelings was playing against Stanford, because Albert Richardson played for Stanford, and we got to go, you know, head to head, you know, and he's my boy outside of football, but when we on that field,
yeah.
I'm gonna try to make you look bad, and you gonna try to make me look bad, right? And then somebody had taken a picture of him and I going head to head. So that's actually one of my favorite pictures.
That's amazing. Talking with Sean Wills, Hanford High, UCLA. We got about 10 minutes. This has been a great conversation. I want to piggyback on that. So that's your freshman year.
Right.
And you got a senior quarterback on that team named Troy Aikman. He's the one that handed off the football.
Yeah, T. Roy, yeah.
When did he first know your name? Did he just call you by your number back then, or when did you have any type of relationship with Troy at that time? Or
yeah,
what did that look like?
Well, you know, when you get to there, you spend a lot of time with your offensive positions. So as far as team, and then as far as your running backs, you know, you have separate meetings and you watch and study film all the time. So we didn't really. We didn't really do too much outside of football, you know, because, you know, I'm a freshman. I got my field, and he has his. But, you know, the funniest part is his mom and I became close. So I would, you know, even throughout, even after he got drafted, his mom and I still stayed in, like, contact. And so Troy, though – he was one of those guys, man, that you just always knew he was in control. On the field, you know, you never saw him get too excited, and you never saw him, you know, get like down. Coach Donahue would always say, nothing is as good as it seems, and nothing is as bad as it seems either. So I think Troy kind of took that, because he was just that level. I mean, you knew he was in control. And you knew he was going to make the plays, make the calls that needed to be made. But you just always felt like you could win any game when he was actually back there.
And you played all 4 years. Did you miss a game? I looked at your stats. I saw 11 games, 11 games, 11 games, 11 games. Right?
So
pretty consistent.
My senior year, I missed like the last four games.
Okay.
And it was in the Stanford. I had a knee injury, then came back, and then in the Stanford game, I still remember it. We were playing Stanford there, running a off tackle play, and guy comes from the side, hits my knee. Luckily, I didn't have to have surgery. I just had to let it heal. So I missed like the last four or five games of my senior season. That was really tough. And when I say this game is so great that it'll have you crying, I remember my senior year coming out for the SC game, because that was there. That was at the Rose Bowl. And so they introduced us all. And I couldn't even dress out, you know, because of the knee. And I remember going out there and Coach Donahue giving me a hug, and I start crying, man. I was crying like a little baby, man. And then, you know, ran out there and, limped out there anyway. But you know, that like senior season was tough for me. You know, everything, you just got to keep on pushing, man. You just got to keep on pushing.
And you decided to play baseball that year?
Yeah, I didn't get drafted. And I was frustrated because I didn't. And so I ended up signing with the Philadelphia Phillies in 92, yeah. So I played with them from 92 to 94, and then got released. And minor league baseball is tough, man. I was like, I'm never doing that again. So gave up minor league baseball, and I ended up getting signed by the Philadelphia Eagles in 95. And then I played with them for about 6 months, and I got cut right before the June camp. So it was actually cool, though. It was good. You know, they said, you know, it's funny because they'll actually call you, Chuck. The GM calls and says, hey, got some news. You know, we're going to have to let you go, and if there's anything I can do for you. Well, yeah, give me a job, man. That's what you can do for me. How are you going to ask me if there's anything? How are you going to cut me? How are you going to release me and then ask if there's anything you can do for me? Yeah, I'm broke. Give me some money, you know? So it was crazy because during that same week time, I had graduated from UCLA. I was getting married to my wife, and I just got cut. So, you know, we were looking at, okay, well, we're going to have a nice little nest egg starting out here, you know? And then I got that actual call, and I'm like, well, baby, things have changed. So during that week, my emotions were all over the place, you know? My wife, I mean, we've been married a long time, and I look forward to the next, you know, 28 years like a kid on his way to Disneyland.
Next chapter of life.
Right.
You mentioned working for the Highway Patrol and being retired from that and the great experience that you had there. But you also had a great experience watching your kids play sports.
Yes.
And that's how I got to know you, and watching your son, JJ, and your other boy playing some basketball. And then our daughters, too. Remember, we played some AAU.
Yeah.
Our daughters, we match up. I snap a picture because your daughter, like my daughter came up to your daughter at her waist. And I'm guarding her, told the ball up high. There's my little one jumping up trying to steal that basketball. But, you know, when you watch your own kids play sports, you know, how much does that mean to you? How much does your heart, you know, back in the day, swell with pride just seeing your kids out there?
Absolutely, man. But I found myself more nervous watching my kids.
Yeah.
Because you have no control over anything, you know. And so watching them, you know, you learn about yourself by what they actually tell you. Like my kids knew. I didn't even know that I was actually doing it, but my kids knew that if I took my hand and wiped it down my face that I was frustrated. So I would see them do something, and I would be like this, and I didn't even realize that I was actually doing it, you know. So, you know, just those little idiosyncrasies that they tell you later on that I actually do, you know. My wife took a video of me coaching my daughter's basketball team, and I think you guys were at the same like tournament, and it is hilarious, man, because I'm trying to, you know, make the basketball go in by moving, and I look like an idiot out there. Really, I did, you know. But she's and she's not even filming the game; she's just filming me, you know. And so we actually laugh at that, but you're right, man. It's an absolute joy to, you know, I coached my kids through, youth sports. And then there was a time where I'm like, hey, I need to break off and just let you, you know, let somebody else coach you, you know. And it all worked out.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation, Sean. I really enjoy this. You know, your pedigree speaks for itself, your time at Hanford and UCLA and in pro ball. But, you know, people speak very highly of you where, you know, and so that's just a testament to who you are as a person, and your family is great. So appreciate you coming on the show
Thank you. Telling
us your story and sharing us some really good stuff.
It is a testament to God's glory, man. That is what it is. It is because of him. You know, when I was able to submit myself to God's will, everything's, you know, things changed, you know, your outlook changed. Being in the CHP for 25 years and seeing all the stuff that I see, your outlook changes, you know. And so now that I am retired and I'm working for my wife now as a, we own our own real estate company, Will's Family, and working for her and now she's my real boss. You know, she's not just my home boss. She's my real boss. So, like I said, man, just surrounding myself by godly men and, like, great people, man, and people like you who we just, you know, have stayed in contact all through these through these years, man, and it has been to God be the glory.
Great stuff. Always good to talk to you, my friend. Good luck, and have fun in retirement.
Right on. Thank you.
Right on. All right. That's Sean Wills, Hanford High, UCLA, great pillar of the community. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Damon Jenkins of Kerman on 1430 ESPN. So Hanford West last night, you guys, you said we needed a win.
Yeah, we
guys
did.
Beat them 41-6. What was clicking last night? Was it one of those games like, hey, we know that you know, a good chance to win this one. We're going to let out some frustrations.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I told our boys last night, or going into the game, you know, we essentially hadn't won a game in a month. You know, not to take Hanford West lightly, and that was one of the biggest focuses, making sure that we didn't allow that game to be a trap game. You know, new coach, he's trying to build a culture over there. You know, so he's getting his guys going and things of that nature. So, but we wanted to make sure we went out there and did what we needed to do. Last week we played a tough Kingsburg team. You know, defensively we did some good things. We wanted to build on that. Offensively we wanted to make some corrections this week going into this week. So, you know, all in all, yesterday we did a solid job. So,
we talk about you hadn't won a game in a month, but just for everybody listening out there, you played Sunnyside, Clovis East, CVC, Kingsburg. I mean, three of those teams, in my opinion, are top 15 teams in the Central Section. We know about Clovis East and CVC. Kingsburg got some dudes back this week and played CVC pretty tough. So, you know, I mean, how much did that win mean to you and your staff just to get back on a winning streak after that tough gauntlet?
I mean, it was much needed. It was much needed. You know, I mean, we have a standard. You know, I have a great staff, and you know, our standard is high. You know, and so a lot of people see our schedule, and some people are wondering why we played that schedule. Well, the Sunnyside, or, you know, I'm sorry, the Kingsburg CVC just worked out that way because they're in our league. Sunnyside was an add-on game the last 2 years, so, and same thing with Clovis East. So it kind of just worked out that way. And, you know, for the most part, our kids stepped up to the challenge, you know, with Sunnyside, struggled against CVC. Kingsburg, we came out and played, you know, so. But
what was Sunnyside scores? One touchdown game. Was that 28-22? Am I wrong on that?
No. I think it was – I just know we lost. But I know, okay, we lost by 2 points.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a close game. So it was still – it was a very winnable game for us. We had a few mistakes, but it was a very winnable game for us.
So, you know, who stood out to you this year? I mean, how proud are you, are the boys, for sticking through that time? Because – you know, it's tough to go through a stretch like that. But what has stood out to you with this team?
I mean, just the ability to persevere, right? When you, for young kids, when they go through a situation where they're losing, sometimes kids feel like their value isn't there, right? But these kids continue to come to practice every week, work their tails off, and never stop playing for each other. And that's the biggest thing that we preach. It's not about them. It's about the man next to them. And so week in and week out, our kids come and they put in the work. You know, we make the corrections and we're growing, you know. So, and that's really what it's about as far as building a culture. And that's the biggest thing for our kids. So,
talking with Damon Jenkins, head coach at Kerman. So, playing at De La Salle, you know, it's well documented, the structure of practices and the encouragement that you get from coaches. What are some of the aspects of coaching that you've taken from your time in high school to now being the head coach at Kerman?
Well, I mean, for the most part, I mean, I pretty much run my program similar to De La Salle, right? I mean, the commitment cards, the team dinners, the, you know, the team meetings and things of that nature. I mean, Coach Ladd and Coach Edson are yin and yang, right? Which is kind of how me and Coach McCoy are, right? Like, me and Coach McCoy have been working together for the last 5-6 years, 7-on-7, you know. So, just I've taken a lot of the culture part. You know, that's really the most important part about high school football, is building the culture, right? Because I think a lot of people think it's about X's and O's. It becomes about X's and O's when you get to college and NFL, right? But high school is about building the culture, helping these young men become men, helping them become assets in society, not liabilities. And so for me, that's the biggest thing that I learned from De La Salle, is they wanted us to be, you know, assets to society, not liabilities, and speaking life into these young men. Again, we were just on the 5-game losing streak, and those kids could have turned it in. They could have said, you know what, coach, you know, it's just like years past. We're not good enough. But no, they stuck it out, and that's a testament to my coaches and the culture that we're building.
Did you recently? Did I say on Twitter you recently talked with Coach Ladd? Did you interact with him? Did you come to your campus?
He came last year to a game. I think him and his wife are going to try to come to the Washington Union game. I just recently went down there to watch him and Coach Edson get inducted into the De La Salle Hall of Fame. So I talk to them regularly. I'm in a group chat with him, Coach Ladd, Coach Blasquez, three main coaches that, changed my life, those are guys I lean on. Mike Blasquez, he oversees Cal strength and conditioning. So whenever I have questions about strength and conditioning, I'll call him right away. And he, sends me things or just gives me advice. So, I still lean on him to this day.
That's awesome. I mentioned a little bit about speaking life into the kids and culture. I mean, are you finding out at Kerman with, a one horse school, right? It's what we call it, right? Mm-hmm. One school, one town. The youth programs and being involved with them and trusting the process with that with them. How important have you found that to be?
Well, it's very important, which is why my son plays over there. So once I made the switch to coach in Kerman, I wanted to make sure that the community knew that I was vested into the community. So, bringing my son over there, Ephraim Gazar does a great job with the Pop Warner League or with his team in that program. So knowing him being at the head of the ship and just watching the program grow, it's been an amazing thing to watch. So, again, because my son is there, I get to go and watch, the younger levels all the way up to his grade. So, the feeder program is extremely important for us.
And just seeing your face there. Yeah. Hey, coach is here. Yeah, coach. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Exactly.
Makes a big difference.
So like tonight, so he plays at 7 p.m. tonight. So my varsity staff is going to go out there and just take a look just to show our support. Right. So, cause a lot of those kids are going to be in our program next year, so.
De La Salle, you played with some dudes, Maurice Jones, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was that guy to tackle?
Well, he's very tough.
I mean, he's low center of gravity. He had some hips, right?
Yeah, so he had tree trunks for legs. So it's funny. I mean, I've known Maurice since 1997 or 98. We actually ran track against each other, and we actually played football against each other before we went to De La Salle.
Got it.
So I remember the first time I actually saw, back in the day when you weighed in, we had to weigh in with no shirt on, things of that nature. He was the only kid that looked like an adult, So we made fun of him and things of that nature, But, I still talk to him as well. So he actually just messaged me yesterday, every week he wants to know how my team is doing, so that's huge for me as well. So,
and he's had a great career as an announcer. I hear him on other radio shows as well. So you look like you're in good shape still.
Come on. I lift a little bit.
At Fresno State, obviously played for Coach Hill, another great mentor, man. You've had some great mentors in your life. You had a pick six against Boise, right?
Yes.
56 yards?
Yes.
Oh, man. Describe that play. What's going through your mind?
Honestly, it was go score, right? In that situation, we were losing, but it's about finishing, right? So it was no fight, no quitting our defense. Had opportunity to get a pick, and I got it, and I went and scored. So, but it was an unbelievable feeling. I didn't even know how to celebrate at that point.
So I don't know if you were able to hear Sean Wills, and he had a huge touchdown run. Against Nebraska in the Rose Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and 90,000 people there. It's freshman year, and he says he's running down, and he's got tunnel vision, and he doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear the crowd. He only hears the guy breathing down his neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing he heard until after he crosses the goal line. Then he hears the crowd. When you're in games like that, when you're big time games, is that what you got to do? You got to try to block it out. Are you only like? It's sometimes it's probably a lonely feeling. You're on an island, right? You're just trying to block everything out. What's it like out there?
No, you zone out. So like when you describe that was the exact same feeling, right? When I got the interception, I wasn't thinking about anything. Didn't hear the stands. All I know, I wanted to score, right? So, and you're absolutely right. It gets quiet and you just literally laser focus on making sure that you don't make that mistake while you're running with the ball, so. But no, that's exactly how I would describe it as well. So.
Awesome. We got about another minute here, Coach. Thanks for coming in. This has been great. So you play Selma and Washington Union. Selma's improved. Let's be honest, right? You know, got blown out in a couple games early this season. You're like, oh no, Selma's going to have a rough year. But they've kept it close in some games. What was it, Kingsburg, right?
Yeah,
it was a Kingsburg game or something.
And then they barely lost to Washington last night. I mean, our friends is doing a good job. He's trying again. We're talking about culture. He's trying to rebuild the culture there. He's trying to go ahead and this is the second year there, I believe, second or third year there. So he's still trying to rebuild that culture to what he wanted to be. And it's going to take some time. But, no, you're right. I watched film on, before I came here. And they are a very, they're on the cusp of winning, right? So even for us, it's another game where we can't slack off, right? They're going to come in here because we beat them last year. Where now we go to them, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. And so we can't let them, get ahead or at all. So.
And Washington Union, they're in every game too.
Yes. And so that, every year last year, it was a battle up until the fourth quarter. Literally, I think with 6 minutes left to go, we throw an interception. And that was a battle up until the very end. So, hopefully it's the same thing this year. It's a battle, but hopefully we come out on with the dub. So.
And you got your third win, right? So you guys are 3-5 right now.
Yes.
To qualify for the playoffs. You even think about playoffs right now? You're just like, man, game by game, let's win these last two.
I would be lying if I said the game playoffs wasn't in our, we talked about it. But at the end of the day, we do, it's an old saying by Coach Backer, 1-0 is all that matters, right? So we still have that same frame of mind, right? 1-0, we took care of Hanford last night. We have to take care of Selma. And then, after that, we have to take care of Washington Union. So, but like I said, I would be lying if I told you that we haven't talked about playoffs. But we all also know that it's one game at a time.
Got another minute here, Coach. Actually, about 30 seconds. Who are some standout players that you've really been impressed with on your team this year?
Of course, Adam Delgado, Adrian Torres, CJ, DJ, who else? Julian, our running back. He's amazing. We have another freshman running back that's coming up.
Ooh,
Our O-line has been amazing this year. Overall, we've been very happy with our players. Timmy Hurt, he's a guy who's coming on for us. But overall, man, our team is coming along. The record doesn't show, but, as a program and when we talk as a staff, we're extremely proud of our guys.
And I've seen it, Coach. I watched you in your CVC game, and you didn't give up. You're in every play. I love watching you coach, and you got a great perspective on life and in football. So I appreciate you, as always. Thanks for coming in and talking.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. That was Damon Jenkins of Kerman. Thank you to Lee's Air, Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, Daniel Gomez, Candace Sanchez from Hanford, Sean Wills, Damon Jenkins right here to my left. Thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you next week.